Good morning. Welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It's the 14th of April, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and the Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Coming up today, Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller check in with news, including a look at Senate Bill 1 and what is in it. And one economic ag forecast is not a pretty picture. We'll have details on that. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast calls for only minor rain chances today and more chill in the air this week. Friday brought a continuation of the corn and bean market rally, and wheat futures join the party. We'll have Brian Basting market analysis on the Hat Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
The Indiana House passes Senate Bill 1 and the ag forecast doesn't look pretty. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. On Thursday last week, the Indiana House passed an amended version of Senate Bill 1, which provides property tax relief for Hoosier homeowners. C.J. Miller reports now how the bill also includes tax relief for Indiana's farmland owners.
Senate Bill 1 not only provides $1.4 billion in property tax relief to Indiana homeowners over the next 3 years, but $140 million in savings for Indiana's farmland owners over that same period as well.
Now, that's only 10% of what the homeowners will receive, but at least that's moving in the right direction.
And that's State Representative Kendall Culp. In a post on social media after the vote Thursday, Culp explained the details of the property tax relief bill as it impacts Indiana's homeowners.
They will get up to a 10% deduction or a $300 maximum cap taken off the bottom of their bill. So if your bill for your home is $2,000, then you will get to save $200. That would be the 10%. Or if it was $3,000, you will save the full $300 or the full 10% taken off of your tax bill. Also, we will phase in a larger deduction. So your basic homeowner homestead exemption goes away, and you will get 2/3 of the value of your home deducted off of your bill.
Culp also detailed the property tax relief the bill provides for Indiana's farmland owners.
In the farmland formula, they will take the capitalization rate and move that from 8% to 9%. That will cause a relief for farmers in the next 3 years, $140 million of savings. And then phasing in, we will have a 1/3 deduction of the assessed value of farmland deducted off.
Even though Culp says he's glad to see property tax relief for Hoosiers, he adds it's not nearly as much as what he would have liked to have seen.
I don't agree with everything in Senate Bill 1, but we look at this as a whole. It's a big win for property taxpayers. My surveys responded overwhelmingly that people wanted lower property taxes in Indiana, and that's what Senate Bill 1 delivers.
The bill now heads back to the Indiana Senate for their final approval. Governor Mike Braun says he's looking forward to having the bill sent to his desk for his signature. I'm C.J. Miller.
This certainly shouldn't come as a surprise, but the forecast for farming in 2025 and beyond is not a good one. That's according to one of the country's leading ag economists. Dr. Joe Outlaw is a professor and extension economist at Texas A&M University, and his most recent survey of farmers certainly doesn't look promising.
That outlook is something we present to Washington every year, and this is the worst one we've ever taken in and shown them. And the problem is that we forecast out the next 5 years, and unless some sort of policy change gets made with the prices where they look to be going, farmers would endure loss after loss after loss, which would build, and it'd be the worst outlook.
Outlaw says a new farm bill would help, but
I think that we're going to get elements of a farm bill and some other piece of legislation, which would be the key things that farmers need. Maybe we don't get a farm bill in name like a lot of people want till later in the year or something, But I think some of the elements that need for the safety net will be included in something else.
An outlaw believes that all it would take to get a new farm bill across the finish line is money.
They've got to figure out, agree to the savings and what they're going to take money from. And as we stand here today, they need about $50 billion to make it, to do the new farm bill, where people would want to have a farm bill. I mean, why have one if we're not going to make significant improvements?
You can read more on this and find other farm news at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast as we take a look at the setup across the Hoosier State this week. It does look like we're starting with a little bit of mild air in place. We saw a little bit of scattered rain shower activity try and move into parts of the state late yesterday afternoon and last night, more so in the south than in the north, but the chances here today look to be relatively minor and definitely farther to the south and southeast. So this afternoon and early evening, I won't rule out scattered rain showers south of a line from, right around the Richmond area back down to Vincennes. South of that line, probably seeing a few hundredths to a tenth or two of moisture. North of the line, I just don't think there's much here for today. Now, as we move into tomorrow, behind this little boundary that's triggering the rain to the south, we do get colder. It is downright chilly for your Tuesday and your Wednesday. We see a good deal of cloud cover at least through tomorrow. Those clouds may try and break up on Tuesday as high pressure tries to take control. But the chill is definitely here through midweek. Once we get on the backside and we see some south winds coming up into the area, that will allow temperatures to moderate likely on Thursday. With the temperature moderation, we have to keep the door open for a few hit-and-miss scattered showers Thursday night into early Friday. The focal point of low pressure seems to want to be a little bit farther north. I think Friday morning to midday, if moisture happens, it will be north of US 24. And then if there's anything that lingers through Friday night into Saturday, that's where we have a chance for statewide rains. Anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch with rain and thunderstorms out of that. The initial batch of shower action in the north could be only a few tenths. In any case, once we get through the Saturday morning time frame, heading through the rest of the Easter holiday weekend, we see pleasant conditions, decent sunshine. I do think we are dry for Saturday afternoon and all of Easter Sunday. Going into the following week, the week of the 21st, a large area of low pressure passes by to our west and north, but we still see the frontal boundary sweeping through here. Hit and miss scattered showers Monday afternoon, the 21st, into early Tuesday, the 22nd. And then the rest of that week seems very active. Multiple threats of rain coming through, hit and miss scattered showers, chances each day that week of the 21st, but we're also seeing temperatures finally getting into a mild zone, which means evaporation will be maxed out when it's not raining. Whether or not we have enough frequency of dry days is yet to be determined. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine. You're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Money flow favored ags early in the session before crude and the equities turned around. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. Strong in corn, beans, and wheat, the numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. I spoke with him in the middle of Friday's session. Brian, we are looking at gains in corn again, a week full of gains in the corn market. Beans strong as well and back to double digits in gains for Chicago wheat. So there is trouble in the outside markets, but money seems to be flowing to the grains and oil seeds.
Thanks for having me, Andy. Yeah, I think you summarized that well. The commodities are holding their own here. Corn, actually, futures are back at the highest level since the end of February. Beans here on Friday reached the highest level also since the end of February. Wheat is struggling, but it is showing strength here on Friday due to some crop concerns. As you said, though, these are all trends in contrast to what we're seeing, for example, in the dollar. Obviously, in the stock market's been an extreme roller coaster ride here this week. But we did get some news from USDA here this week that did this provide a floor into the corn market.
Brian, let's dive a little bit more into USDA, what they had to say about corn and your thoughts about that.
The USDA on the corn market for the U.S. here, Andy, lowered the carryout to 1.465 billion bushel. The trade was looking for 1.510 billion bushel. I'd note that 1465 billion bushel estimate, Andy, was within the trade range of 1405 to 1605, but it was below the average estimate. That was due to a 100 million bushel increase in the export forecast, and that was only partly offset by a 25 million bushel decrease in the feed residual forecast. We are not surprised that the USDA increased the export forecast. We have been contending throughout the winter and early spring here, Andy, that this pace of export sales from the U.S. Has warranted an increase. And it's not out of the realm of possibility, not a prediction by any means, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. That number eventually could increase a bit further. We'll have to see. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but there certainly continues to be signs that the U.S. is the primary store in town, if you will, for corn in the world at the moment. And we still have quite a ways to go before that Brazilian crop is harvested there in July and August. So really the only other key competitor at the moment would be Argentina. They're harvesting their crop now. Ukraine supplies are much lower than they were a year ago. And we're looking at being in the driver's seat as such. There is some contention, Andy, that feed residual reduction of 25 million bushel by the USDA is too conservative, given that the low disappearance implied in that March 31st grain stocks report, low feed residual disappearance, I should say, during that December, January, February time period. That's a story for another day. Apparently, the USDA does not think it's too conservative. So all that being said, Andy, a 1465 carryout on corn, while not running out of corn, is tight. We do need to see good crops first in Brazil, and then we need to see a good crop here in the U.S. this year. And the market has responded by, as you said, adding gains here, not only an old crop, but also a new crop. We're also seeing, Andy, that new crop soybean corn ratio edge back below or closer to 2.2, which is a strongly favoring corn planting here this spring, weather permitting. So all those thrown into a hopper as such, there was only a small change in the bean carry out down 5 million bushel, and the world bean stocks continued to be fairly ample. So the corn is a driver at the moment, Andy, and beans have rallied here, and wheat has rallied on crop concerns. So summarizing, I'd say that as we get to planting season, hopefully arriving here shortly, that we've got some better opportunities here for marketing for your listeners.
And what is the outlook for planting across the Midwest, across the Corn Belt, and even planting delays that may impact markets?
A bit of a mixed bag, Andy, at the moment. I certainly understand many of your listeners really suffered through that heavy, heavy rain that you experienced here recently. That is going to put a halt to things for a bit here. It is going to dry out for several days. I'd like to see that extend longer than that, but our weather meteorologist at the moment is saying that rainfall could return next weekend. And again, that's weather can change, as we all know, but the best planting opportunities, it looks like, will be further to the west, particularly west of the Mississippi River, perhaps, as things dry out and warm up. Moving into mid-April there. So a bit of a mixed bag. It looks like we're going to have a mixed start, let's say, to the planting season. I would say that as we move further into April, Andy, as you get past mid-April, and of course we get past Easter here in a week, that the market is going to be watching that closely. The earlier we get in the crops, it's been shown, particularly for beans, the last few years, Andy, that particularly we get those beans in earlier, we've seen the yield response go higher. We'd like to get that corn in the ground as early as possible too, but we definitely want to see that ground fit before we get too far ahead of ourselves. So I think the market will start to take notice of it starting Easter weekend, which is next weekend. And if we start to see some delays in the context of the numbers from USDA and unfavorable forecasts, I think we'll at least limit the selling interest going forward. But hopefully we'll get a window here at some point, the second half of April, to get those planters rolling.
Market analysis from economist Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. Brian's number 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, 7.25 higher May corn. It goes to 490.25. July, 497, up 8.25. Dece up 9.25, 463.5. May beans, a gain of 13.75, 1042.75. July ends up 16.25, 1053. Novi, 1025.5, 20.75 higher. And strong in the wheat market with May, 555.75, up 17.75. In the meats, mostly higher. June live cattle, 196.80, up $1.60. And June lean hogs, 15 cents to the good, 93.32. Also a late turnaround in equity markets go higher. I'm Andy Eubank. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.